Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan.
Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Langkawi is set to reopen its tourism sector under a travel bubble plan starting next Thursday, September 16th. Now, this is less than 2 weeks to go, and the National Security Council has yet to release the final guidelines for industry players. What would it take to ensure that Langkawi's reopening is a success? Our first guest tonight is Nigel Wong. He's the Secretary General of the Malaysian Association of Tour and Travel Agents, or MATA for short. Nigel, good evening. Thank you for being on the show. I'm just wondering, what do you think the impact is of this delay in announcing the final SOPs from Putrajaya? What are MATA members telling you about where this ambiguity is most challenging for them?
Well, I think the ambiguity doesn't just apply to Langkawi. I mean, we've been living with quite a bit of that for the last 1.5 years. But in answer to your question, the late SOPs from Putrajaya could result in a lot of confusion. And I think what the industry is most concerned about is the clarity of the conditions by which tourists will be allowed into Langkawi and what the protocols are. Should there be cases, and what measures and security measures are already in place to boost the confidence of travellers heading up north?
Nigel, could very quickly tell us, in very simple terms, who can go to Langkawi and under what conditions?
Well, I think you know as much as we do at the moment, in that you have to be fully vaccinated. There's still a big question as to whether folks from the Klang Valley are able to travel out, given that the different phases of the MCO are still in place. But apart from that, it seems the industry is assuming that most of the standard SOP conditions will apply, which is the stuff we're normally used to, you know, wearing of masks, social distancing, so on and so forth.
But I wonder if the challenge for tour and travel agents is a little harder. It's more for this particular sector of the industry, because you know who would you market to? Do you have enough time to restart things, to market your services, and who are you marketing to if you're not quite sure who is eligible for this travel bubble?
You're right in saying that we would have preferred to have the SOPs communicated to us much earlier on. However, we do expect the take-up to be a little bit slow. So in that sort of scenario, we still have a little bit of time, left with us. But then again, as you said, without the SOPs, it does make it more difficult for travel agents to come up with packages to target the domestic market, which is already very independent in its travel trends.
Nigel, is there or need there be a kind of a risk appetite assessment by your members in terms of marketing? What would they be telling people about the safety, or what kind of reassurances can they give customers?
Well, at the moment, some travel agencies are emphasizing the fact that they have a certain set of procedures in place. For example, the three associations, MATA, the Malaysian Association of Hotels, and MASIOS, which is the association dealing with conventions and exhibition organizers, they've come up with a special SOP, internationally accredited, to help agents prepare for this and also to give travelers the trust that the agents that are handling them are properly trained and equipped to do so. But apart from that, most agents are still going by what they already have in place, what they already know. And in general, the agents, given the last few travel projects or bubbles that we've had in the past, have demonstrated that they are capable of keeping travellers safe.
Nigel, is MATA operating under the assumption that Langkawi is going to be the first kind of pilot test case, that if this goes well, that you'll see other travel or tourist destinations around the country open up as well? And are your members preparing for that?
Well, the travel industry is very, very keen on this travel bubble working out. And I think it's you know, it's due. And I think the ratio, the measure of success is not so much as to the number of cases that result from it or whether people are actually going to the island. Really, this is opening the doors. It's a model to demonstrate that we do have the capabilities to actually open up other travel bubbles. But more importantly, it's also going to condition the industry for further travel bubbles that are going to open up, and also perhaps to target the inbound market when the time is right.
Nigel, I want to come back to that risk assessment question I asked earlier, because I'm wondering what kind of expectations you need to, as it were, set up in among your consumers. You say reassurances that people have the best internationally accredited SOPs, but that's not a guarantee that, one, you won't be infected, or there might not be an infection in your vicinity, which might lead you to have to be quarantined or such. So how do you manage expectations in a situation like this?
Well, again, the SOPs or the itineraries, if you were to go with a travel agent, that's the assumption, is that the travel agents would take things to craft or curate an itinerary that will probably be a mixture of, you know, of interest to the traveler, and also the assessment of whether it's going to be a safer environment. Now, like you said, it's never a 100% foolproof case, but it's basically how well it's managed in order to minimize that risk for the general travelers going to that location.
Okay, Nigel, thank you so much for being on the show. That was Nigel Wong of Mata. We're joined now by Azmil Munif Muhammad Bukhari. He's the tourism manager at the Langkawi Development Authority, or better known as LADA. Azmil, thank you so much for being on the show tonight. Now, let's dive right into this travel bubble and the plan. If I'm not mistaken, LADA has been spearheading this proposal, this plan. Is Langkawi ready to reopen on the 16th? Even though the final SOPs have yet to be announced by Putrajaya?
Yes, thank you, Melissa. We are, in fact, very excited with the 16th of September opening. Not only that auspicious day is the opening of Langkawi, but then we are also celebrating Malaysia Day. That's it's a big gift from Prime Minister to all Malaysians that can travel to Langkawi. Talking about SOP is, you know, we already have the general one. The general SOP already came out. As we know, who actually can travel to Langkawi with a person with double vaccination, of course, with 14 days grace period. And of course, they are also allowed to bring their dependent, their children below 18, to tag along with them, as long as they are from the same household. And then, most of the industry in Langkawi, like hotels, will be fully open. They can use swimming pool, gymnasium, and other facilities on the hotel, including attractions on the island. The only SOP that Putrajaya has not come up with is the travel arrangement. I'm sure they are tightening the loose ends, and it'll be come up very, very soon in the next, probably tomorrow or next few days.
Sorry, Azmal, can I just get you to explain a little bit when you say the SOPs for travel arrangements? Can you elaborate what exactly has yet to be announced regarding travel arrangement SOPs?
Well, you see, this is Langkawi is has been chosen for domestic travel bubble arrangement. We are the pilot project. So the arrangement from their house, let's say from Selangor to Langkawi, via a land or air travel, that has not come out. But things that they can do in Langkawi, things that they can enjoy in Langkawi has come out. So those are the things that are yet to be confirmed by Putrajaya.
So as well as clarify, those of us who live in phase one territories, Selangor and Kuala Lumpur being one of them, will be allowed to do interstate travel? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, because Langkawi is the pilot project for a travel bubble. So regardless whether you come from a destination from what phases of your PPN, So you are allowed to travel as long as you are double vaccinated with 14 days grace period. Yeah, that is the key of, you know, right, tourists to come to Langkawi. Yeah.
Can you explain to us, Azmil, what model Langkawi is emulating? I mean, we've all read about Phuket's kind of sandbox tourism model. Is that something that Langkawi is looking at in particular? What areas are you most looking to adopt maybe the practices from those models?
Yes, Lada, actually together with Motec and everyone industry player on Langkawi, we have developed ourselves, our own Langkawi models. Of course, we take a look at Phuket sandbox shortcomings that they are facing right now, because they apparently at that time being a bit ambitious, they open for domestic and international at the same time. But we are looking at only opening for domestic at the moment. And then international arrival would be towards at the end of the year. That is the things that we do, the models that we embark upon.
Azmil, I want to ask you if is any chance that, you know, somebody embarks on a holiday to Langkawi and there's a spike in COVID cases on the island, that they will find themselves having to, end their holiday, return or be quarantined in hotels. What are the worst possible scenarios that could result from a spike of cases in Langkawi?
Well, you see, if a domestic traveler comes to Langkawi and it happens to so-called touch wood, if they get infected by COVID-19, we have all the mitigation processes, on papers already. They need to be treated until they are cured, fully cured, before they can go back. We have a PKRC center with 100 beds altogether, and also we also identifying a few hotels to become quarantine hotels, so they can choose whether they wanted to stay in the hotel or at PKRC, depending on the stage that they are getting at. If it's at phase stage 3 and above, so we also have embarked upon medical evacuation to the private hospitals in the Northern Island. So that is the things that we are strategy that we're putting in.
Azmil, I understand Laja has also been engaging hospitality industry players to kind of walk them through the opening of this travel bubble. What feedback are you getting from industry players in Langkawi? Are they ready? Are they concerned? Are they excited? What are you hearing, especially regarding the fact that they're still not sure yet how this is going to play out with the SOPs?
Well, we have been engaging with them since last month. Of course, only a small quarter worrying about we opening too soon on the 16th. But most of them are really excited about it because it has been quite some time that the island is closed. You see, the island is really depending on a single economy, which is tourism. So the time is now, as you know, Malaysia is going to the phases of from pandemic to endemic. So we shall live in this and adapting this COVID-19. So the time is we are ready, and then they are also very excited in opening on the Malaysia Day. Yeah.
Okay. Very quick question for you. Is there any chance, is it possible for Langkawi not to open? What would it do to the tourist economy if Langkawi chooses to stay closed for whatever reason?
You see, there's no destination in the world can claim they are COVID-free. So moving forward, we shall be living with COVID-19. As Minister KJ said, at the end of October, we shall live in a state of endemic already. So of course we would also reminding local people and tourists that they need to exercise self responsibility of taking care of the strict SOP, and we would like to open this because industry is ready, and then the world is looking at us. Thank you.
Okay. Azmil, thank you so much for being on the show. That was Azmil Munif from LADA. After this, we're going to zoom in on how hotels are preparing for this travel bubble. Stay tuned to Consider This. Thank you so much for staying with Sharad and I on Consider This. Less than 10 days till the start of the Langkawi travel bubble. Is the island ready for the reopening? Karina Bahrain co-owns the boutique hotel La Pari Pari and the Fat Cupid restaurant in Langkawi. She joins us on the show tonight. So Karina, are you going to be taking a wait-and-see approach to this travel bubble, or are you going to be running at full operations on the 16th with staff and inventory in planning for the reopening?
We're going to be running at full inventory. In fact, I think our restaurant is going to start running a couple of days before the 16th, because at the moment we're already allowed to operate dine-ins, right? But of course, most of the people coming at the moment are going to be local residents. So yes, we will be running at full capacity.
Karina, one of the big issues for any tourists in their plans is cost. And with the pandemic, the one perhaps unforeseen cost might be a situation where you might be quarantined. How has that been worked out? Who pays the bills if somebody is forced to be quarantined in a hotel beyond the expected, holiday time that they had planned for?
Well, that's why we're still waiting on the SOPs from MKN, the final go-ahead. I think in the beginning, when the industry consultations were happening and LADA was conducting them, there was talk about, if somebody is reported with COVID and needed to be quarantined or taken away, then, of course, the Ministry of Health personnel or facilities will kick in. It's going to be different for inbound tourists, but for the domestic tourists at this point in time, we can still lean on KKM support.
Right. And, you mentioned that LADA has been providing engagement and consultation regarding this travel bubble. Was that enough lead time? Was the lead time sufficient for you, Karina, to plan, to get ready, to market and make sure that the occupancy is there for potential tourists?
Well, a couple of things there. I think in terms of SOPs, I think there is an expectation the SOPs will not be vastly different from what we've had to observe already. If you remember, Langkawi has been open prior to this, right, until the last MCO, this current MCO began. So if anything, we're only expecting additional SOPs to be put on top. So the burden in terms of readiness for operations shouldn't be that huge for businesses that have been operating since, the start of the pandemic. That's one. In terms of marketing, I think that's why everyone's waiting for MKN to actually announce the travel guidelines. Azmil touched on it earlier, and that is our understanding. The people who are double vaxxed and have done the 14-day grace period can travel, but we'd like final confirmation because from the marketing and sales perspective, especially I would imagine for tour agents, it would be helpful for them to get a clear understanding of who they can market to, yeah, and who's allowed to travel.
Karina, I imagine it's been a really tough this last year and a half for businesses, and businesses, I guess, pitch their wares at different segments. What segment do you expect will be coming to Langkawi, and who's going to benefit most from that, and who's not going to benefit from this potential, opening up?
Well, I think if you look at the past trends from the previous December peak, we were seeing a lot of the big hotels getting really good occupancy. The mid and the low range, maybe not so much, primarily because a lot of the big hotels had lowered their prices a fair bit. So people were taking advantage of the fact that they can now stay in nicer hotels at a less price, right, because of the pandemic. I anticipate that some of this will still happen, although I'm hoping that the industry here will kind of self-regulate them a little bit, given the fact that we are the only destination you can travel to for a while. in Langkawi. In terms of who will benefit, of course you want to see everybody across the board benefit. It's kind of hard to tell at the moment the kind of segments that we can expect. I suspect, though, that it will probably come from kind of the middle and upper level, because those are the people who probably still have spare cash to travel.
Right. Okay, so on that note, you mentioned you're still waiting for the final SOPs. You're expecting there to be perhaps additional SOPs. Can you elaborate, Karina, roughly what do you need clarity on specifically from MKN, and where do you see the biggest challenges ahead of this travel bubble?
I think that in terms of the SOPs, on the operational side, it's not so bad because, like I said, all of us are already used to working with certain SOPs prior to this current lockdown. But for the travelers, it's important that they understand, you know, who is allowed to travel, under what conditions, what are the criteria, and what are the things they need to have. Is it a police letter? Is it a booking, etc., before they can, you know, make their way here.
Okay, all right. Thank you so much, Karina. That's Karina Baharin, co-owner of La Pari Pari. We're going to speak now to Eugene Das. He's on the line. He's the chairperson of the Malaysian Association of Hotels for the Kedah and Perlis chapter. Eugene, good evening. Thank you for being on the show tonight. Now, what has been, you know, what are you most concerned about in terms of the delay of the final SOPs, the final guidelines being announced by MKN? What are you looking, what are you seeking clarity about?
Very good evening. Thank you for this opportunity. I think from the perspective of Malaysian Association of Hotels for Kedah, our concern will be more on what about the arrival, customers arriving, what are the SOPs they would need to go through, and also when they are on the island, are there any sort of testing that needs to be done? What are the emergency procedures in place? And also we are concerned that if the SOPs are out late, it may require some last-minute changes as far as the hotel plannings are concerned, from manpower to maybe some additional finances, financial injection. So, yeah, these are some of our concerns. So if we had them earlier, we would be better prepared on top and above of the SOPs that is currently being put in place in individual hotels.
Eugene, we were told that in terms of facilities at hotels, you know, all the existing facilities will be open to clients coming in, and you know, so the gyms, you know, the restaurants and such. What assurances are you trying to put in place so that people feel that they're safe? I mean, is there still going to be queuing up at the buffet table and so on and so forth?
From my understanding, through our conversation or through our checks with our members, of course, they have taken all this into account, knowing that for the past few months to a year, we have been going through this, and there are times when Langkawi was opened somewhere last year. And I think we have followed the SOP strictly in terms of spacing of tables, so buffet line preparations, facilities. And in fact, now Ma has already gone on a clean and safe program, and I think this will definitely further boost the readiness for us to accept customers.
Can I ask you about responses to this travel bubble from clients, from customers, from tourists? Are they responding well? Are you seeing reservations pour in, you know, 10 days to launch date of the travel bubble? Or has the lead time been insufficient to get the word out, to build that confidence, to maybe market a little bit, promo a little bit for the hotels, to the clients? Has that been enough time? Are you seeing a good response?
From what we gather as well, the response are coming in, but very slow. And the market is still not so, let's say, not so ready to travel. Maybe I feel once we have clear SOPs where the market themselves understand what would be required to come to Langkawi, then probably we would see a faster momentum in the occupancy pickup. As of now, we are looking at, conservatively looking at about 20% occupancy, at least for the first few weeks until the 80%, herd immunity is achieved in the country.
20%? That's not very high occupancy rate, Eugene.
Correct.
Does that mean... Sorry, just does that mean that the hotels or the members that you are speaking to are thinking about pairing their operations till perhaps they get more momentum? Because 20% and you're running a full capacity hospital seems like it's not a good financial proposition.
Right, like I mentioned, it would be depending a lot on the SOPs, and because there have been interest, but the market is still skeptical. So as of now, this is what we roughly have. So yeah, once we see probably clear direction, how the thing is going to work, then I believe the market will be more confident. Then we'll probably see a climb.
Right, Eugene, I mean, you know, there's one thing that it does attract Malaysians, and that is a bargain. And I understand from our previous guest that, you know, the big hotels have been giving bargains, which, you know, have attracted the bulk of incoming tourists. How do you see that, you know, sort of panning out in the future, especially for the mid-range and the smaller players? Will they be, you know, under a lot of pressure to get some share of the market if the big players with the greater facilities and maybe the bigger names start to undercut them with these bargains?
First and foremost, I think we as the association, we are unable to control what we sell. And for what I know now, there have been some hotels that have already come up with attractive packages. And from what we see is that most of it is more on value added. So they are not, they have not really touched their rates that bad. So there is still some drop, there's still some attraction. I guess it's more of a test market to see what happens. But I'm confident that given if the inflow is good on the market, the rates will probably come back to what it is, because the hotels need to sustain their operation costs.
Okay, all right. Thank you so much, Eugene. We look forward to hearing whether or not these final guidelines will come out soon.
Thank you.
That was Eugene Das from the Malaysian Association of Hotels. That's all we have for you on this episode of Consider This. But before I leave you tonight, a reminder that you can get the latest COVID-19 news and information on our website, astrology.com, as well as our app. Thank you so much for watching the show. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan, signing off for the evening.
See you again, same time tomorrow. Good night.